Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, welcome to our time of prayer and scripture. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Feel free to leave your prayer intentions in the comments and let's go into God's presence together. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, Father, for your presence, guiding us, enveloping us at every step of our way and every moment of our lives. Your word is our lamp for our feet, a light to our path, our bread of life, along with the Eucharist. Feed us now on your word. May we understand it more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively through Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." Brothers and sisters, we're getting to that point in the Easter season when we hear more and more the fact that the fruit of the resurrection is the bestowal of the Spirit. We've been reflecting on the resurrection, the victory of life over death, the fulfillment of all the scriptures about Jesus. Now we're getting ready for that moment when he is ascending to the Father. He's talking to his disciples about him going away. But he's not leaving us. He doesn't walk around now in human form. They saw him ascend into heaven. They didn't see him again walking around in human form. But he's with us ever so truly by his Spirit, as well as by the Word and in the Eucharist and in the Christian community and in the Christian ministers, but by the Spirit. We're going to hear more and more about that in the readings going forward here these next couple of weeks. And one of the things I want to bring to your attention about what this reading says to us here, without going too much into the fine points of all these distinctions, the Spirit does a number of things when he comes. Jesus explained it. He does a number of things. And one of the things he does is he convicts us of our sins. You know, you could sit in a room, breathe the air, say, "Oh, it's nice." And then did you ever notice sometimes a bright ray of the sun will come through the window, and all of a sudden you'll see all these particles floating in the air that you didn't see before. And I often think of that as how the Holy Spirit enlightens us about sin. There are more particles there of dust than meet the eye ordinarily. There's more sin in our life than meets the mind and the conscience ordinarily. It's a beautiful prayer. "Lord, free me from my hidden sins." And if you do a really good examination of conscience, you know, in some of these prayer books, you wish the examination of conscience perhaps weren't as detailed as it is, because you read it and say, "Wow, I'm guilty of a whole lot more things than I thought I was." But especially in a culture of death, we have to pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit to convict people of sin. In other words, and think of it as a good thing, because then it leads them to repentance. We want to bring people to forgiveness, healing, peace, and holiness, but we can only get them to do that if they turn away from their sins. They can only turn away from their sins by repentance. That's what repentance is. And they can only come to that if they understand that what they're doing is wrong rather than thinking it's right. Now, John Paul II in the Gospel of Life points out that this is an added layer of evil on the abortion issue, because it's bad enough that it's an act of violence against the child. But what makes it even worse is that some people call it a right instead of a crime. The right to choose. Look at Biden. Restore Roe. Hey, reproductive freedom tour. Biden and Harris and all the Democrat Party. So by doing that, by proclaiming abortion as a right, by putting into constitution, they even use the word enshrine. And this should make us furious because you don't use the word enshrine for something that's evil. You enshrine something that's good, that's holy. And yet they insist on using this word. And we have to be careful not to use it ourselves when describing these constitutional ballot amendments in certain states, like here in Florida, these efforts to try to put abortion into the state constitution where it never was before in any of the 50 states. And they say they're going to enshrine it. By speaking of abortion as a right, as a good, as a sacred thing, they're making it harder for people to repent. They're putting up spiritual roadblocks. They're opposing the Holy Spirit by talking that way. Because what the Holy Spirit does is just the opposite. He helps us to see what we think is wrong. He helps us to see clearly that some things that we think are okay are actually wrong. This is what Jesus means. He's going to convict you of sin. He's going to show you your sins. We should welcome that. Now, that same Spirit brings the forgiveness of sins. As we hear in the prayer of absolution, He sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. But if the very one who comes to forgive us of sin makes us repent of sin, and therefore starts out by showing us our sin. That's why out in front of abortion facilities, and I invite you to do this too, when you're praying with a group of people, extend your hands and pray over that abortion facility for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let those who are promoting abortion as a sacred right be convicted of their sins by that Holy Spirit. Let those doctors who are reaching into the sacred womb and destroying God's property be convicted of their sin by the Holy Spirit. Let those who are coming there thinking abortion is okay to do be convicted of their sin, stopped in their tracks by the Holy Spirit, and turned around in conversion and repentance. Invoke that Holy Spirit, because this is one of the reasons why He comes. And pray likewise when you're in front of or walking through legislative halls, as I hope you do. Pray over those legislators. Pray over the Capitol in your state and in D.C. Pray over the courts, over the judges. Holy Spirit, convict them of sin. We're not trying to do bad to them. We're trying to do good because we want them to find conversion and healing and grace. Amen. Father, bless us as we await the Holy Spirit, invoke the Holy Spirit, as we love and worship the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, just as He breathed over the chaos at the beginning of time and brought order and life and light out of the darkness. So may He breathe again over this broken world, over this culture of death, and bring about the culture of life. May we be agents of that change by constantly invoking Him. And now, Father, we pray to You, as the Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thank you, friends, for joining me. Tonight I'll be in Michigan, Livonia. Lifespan is the name of the group. Thank you, Lifespan, for having me there in Michigan to speak and fire up the troops tonight. Michigan is a key state in the election. Of course, we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about the involvement of youth in the pro-life movement and how important that is, and also some of the key reasons why youth are involved in the movement. Stay tuned to my social media channels, by the way, and you'll hear the various talks I give in my stops throughout the country. God bless Michigan, and God bless you all, friends. Talk to you soon.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Pastoral Associate of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor. Or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.